Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Michael. I've asked some of my friends to join me for this month's roundtable discussion. I'd like to give them an opportunity to introduce themselves.
Hello, everyone. My name is Oren Johnson. I'm excited to be here with you today.
Fantastic.
Clear and concise.
Next to the line with us is...
Yeah, this is Ernest Montz. I'm out here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Thank you for joining us today.
All right. I'm just going to dive right into it, guys. As black men raised in the U.S., it's almost inevitable that we experience microaggressions. Sometimes we know it and sometimes we don't. I'll start off with you, Oren. Have you experienced microaggression? If you have, would you talk about that experience?
So I've definitely experienced it. So let's get everybody caught up to speed. All right. So microaggression are the everyday verbal, nonverbal, and environmental slights, snubs, and insults. Anything that kind of deals with race, that's pretty much unconsciously happening. Almost like a reflex. Somebody's going to hit you in your knee. It's going to kind of move. You know what I'm saying? But I think it's all based with that person's perspective or that person's environment.
Meaning that person, meaning who? As in
that
the person
that,
receiving and the person
both. That's
doing.
And that's the key, is that it's both. It takes somebody to know that they're being snubbed. So not only does the person who's doing the snubbing have to realize that microaggression happened, it's also vice versa. The key is where it really starts is really understanding your audience and what you know about the subject. So just here for an example, growing up in Alaska, okay, I didn't, just a little background, growing up in Alaska, that's how I know everybody who's speaking on this radio. I learned how to snowboard. It was a key thing. It was a big thing, you know? Everybody just knew how to kind of do snow sports or whatever. But then moving from Alaska and then going to Virginia and then coming back to California, I would go snowboarding and people would say, hey, you know, you're really good at snowboarding for a black dude. And I'm just like, what does that mean? Exactly. I can't just be good at snowboarding because I'm a human person, you know?
Yeah.
But really what it was is I didn't really think much of it. I was like, oh, you know, that's just kind of how it was. But what it comes down to for me, why would you just automatically say that? You know, why can't I be good at snowboarding just because I practice?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Ernest?
And this is Ernest here. Like as black dudes, like we've all been in that situation where we walked into a store and get eyeballed just from the assumption that we might shoplift something. Like,
yeah.
Sure, we might have done dumb stuff as kids or whatever, but like that's not who we are. We're not walking into a store for just automatically thinking we're going to take some without paying for it. No, but like we get eyeballed like we are on occasion. No, that's just like a coming of age thing for black people, basically. I mean, it sucks, but.
Yeah, I agree with both of you guys. Also, the people who are doing it don't always know that they are. So, for the examples you just gave us, Ernest, they know that they saw this black man walk in the store and they think he's going to take something, and so they're doing that. I feel like that sort of stuff I can handle better because it's more puts you on the defensive, and defensive means that you're prepared, or that you can be prepared because you see the enemy or you see the situation. Microaggression, when it's unintentional from the person doing it, it's even harder because they, especially if you can tell, they honestly don't think that there's a problem. I think I dealt with most of that. My biggest was in the South. The racism down there was so ingrained that it's just like, so what? Like, that's what it is. And you're like, huh? Now, I have experienced that myself in Juneau, but it was a lot of coming up. Most of it I had to say me coming up in school. And both of you went to high school here. Right. And so I know for a fact that you guys experienced the things there were the jokes that your friends made or your acquaintances/friends or gym friends that they made, but you're the only black guy in the room. And so you kind of just either laugh that off or, you know, pretend like it didn't hit. Adding that sort of stuff, for me, that feels like it's even more hurtful. At least it can be hurtful. Do you guys agree?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem unconscious.
And have you experienced anything like that, or am I way off base?
It seems intentional. It seems intentional in that case.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, this is Ernest again. One of the people that I consider like a real friend, like she basically, not basically, she actually said when we were talking about like why we get along so good, and she was like, well, you're not like an actual black guy. I'm like, what in the heck is that supposed to mean?
What does that mean?
Like, I'm actual black guy. Like, I love my blackness, and I live it. Like, how insulting to be that was for me. Like, that was so insulting.
And I think that, as far as, like, microaggression, you really got to pick your crowd, your venue. This is my good friend. I'm going to pull up. I'm going to find a way. I'm going to meet them where they're at, and I'm going to find a way to explain to them that you can't say something like that to myself. You know what I'm saying? You can't say that and expect me not to feel some type of way. And I feel as if you may not even understand it. You may not know you're doing it. It's unintentional. That's why I'm coming to you as a friend. I would appreciate it if you maybe think about the next time you say it. Not just for me, but just for your future. If it's somebody that you don't care about, sometimes you really got to pick your battles.
I'd like to point out there's a difference between the microaggression and the overt discrimination, which is some of the things I think you guys have touched on as well, which is obviously it's overt. So that says it right there. Mm-hmm. So I want to get an example out of you both, because like I said, I know you both personally, and I know you guys have experienced it. And I want to get this, kind of narrow this down, get this to a more acute definition so that we can really dive into it. A prime example of what I believe it is when you are every day, you say you ride the bus every day, okay? And every day you get on that bus, the bus driver, he used to be a line of five people, and you could be there first, walk up to put your money in the thing, and they won't take it, they won't stop it, they wait for everybody else go through first, and then they give it to you, and then has you do it, right? Or always passes you over for white, always lets somebody else go in front of you, whether they're white, black, or whether they're white, purple, or green. Like, they go in front of you, the black dude goes last. That sort of thing. Like, I think that those sort of examples of it, microaggression, are the most harmful.
There's been multiple times in my life where I would be with four or five white dudes. We'll be walking by, walking, and somebody will pass every single one of those white dudes, and I'll be the last one in, walking behind, and they'll come up to me and be like, hey, do you have any weed? I don't even smoke weed. I do not even smoke weed. And they will pass at least three out of the four or five white boys that were ahead of me all smoke weed. I don't touch this stuff. And they will ask me. And I'm like, come on, man. Get out of here with that. Get
out of here. Are we talking medicinal?
I don't think it matters.
All right, let's get back.
It don't matter. I don't look sick.
But I understand that's good. That's good.
It's gonna invoke feelings.
That's happened multiple times.
Thank you. I can't say that happened to me directly. I remember working at a shop one time, and somebody asked me if I could find them weed, but off the ship. And I was like,
man, we would be at like
right now. You should ask
hotel rooms.
Like, because they're going out of town for football or for our college football games or whatever. like my team is playing our rival and we'd be out there and I'll just be with some of the homies that went and that stuff would happen. And I'm like, come on now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like the example,
and Sorry, guys. No, go ahead, Warren, please.
So it just like an example, I would always have friends that would be like, oh, you know, I couldn't pull that off because I'm not black. Or they would say, oh, yeah. The reason why you did that is because you're black, you know?
Yeah.
Or I'll get my favorite. My favorite is.
Yeah.
You talk white.
Yeah.
That's my favorite is you talk white.
Right? That is toxic. That is so toxic. That is so toxic right there.
Yeah.
Why does my skin color should speak, behave, or think?
Mm-hmm. Because toxic. It just does.
Right.
I think the biggest problem that comes with those sort of things is that it subtly implies that a different race is better because we're being compared to them in that manner. And then low-key, it tells you that, like, you know, you're not really the right type of black, meaning that the right type of black talks with a real, so there's a lot of slang. The right type of black does a lot of weed smoking. The right type of black only plays ball and knows that, like, all that stuff. It's dangerous because if it's not all bad, right? Like, it's not all bad connotations.
Yeah, I'm not saying,
then it can feel like they're not doing it.
We all do it.
But we all do it. Yeah.
The key is, I feel like recognizing that, because I mean, our thoughts, one thing, you know, but really having a filter, choosing to, instead of like recognizing your thinking, I mean, like, maybe I should educate myself a little bit and see how it makes others feel when I say these things, you know, really recognizing, I think, what it comes down to, you know, because we all do it. It's, you know, this is specifically about blacks, but it's like we all do it.
Yeah.
Oh, we all do it.
Yeah. No matter the race.
It's so terrible because people associate proper grammar and talking with fucking white. It's like, what, white people?
One of the worst spellers I know. Like,
come on, man.
And I'd like to kind of pull it, to rein it in a little bit. It's not like what Warren said. We all do it.
Yeah.
Meaning, and I cannot myself say I haven't been guilty of it myself towards somebody else. Right? Now, we have the platform right now and opportunities.
You can't be guilty of it, cannot?
Towards our race. No, definitely have. Definitely have, myself. Oh, I have.
The masses?
Come on, man. Come on, man. Absolutely. but truly, it does. It's what's really I found interesting is that as you see that sort of thing happen to us and we recognize it, I mean, us as a people, we recognize it. I found myself being somewhat convicted and ashamed of how I've done it to others when I started recognizing what was happening. And then being like mad about it, that righteous indignation. And then all of a sudden, like, well, wait a minute. Who are you? Like, you doing it the same thing, but because the hot seat is on this right now, you get to be mad about it. Try to use it as a tool for change in myself, right? Because if I don't want things, you know what I'm saying? The old rule, maybe it's kids, you know what I'm saying? Do one to others, right? Yeah. So if I don't want that for me, and I don't want that to pass that down to my kids, maybe I should. You know, I'll be a little bit better about trying to check myself. And so I think in all, it can work out to be a really good thing as far as a learning tool if we allow it to. It doesn't always have to be, it doesn't have to allow it to be just one thing that just, you know, gets us fired up, you know, and man, it can be a learning tool for change if we want it to be. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and pause it right there, guys. And I'll be going to break.
Yeah, that was
so.
Bad.
We'll see you back in a few minutes.